The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And it's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. British TV presenter Kirsty Allsop has experienced the consequences of what you might call hands-off parenting. She was approached by social services after she announced that her son was interrailing around Europe without adult supervision. And it caused a bit of debate online about how much independence should we be giving teenagers, at what age and to what end. And the man who might be able to answer that is child psychotherapist and columnist with the Irish Examiner, Colman Nocter. Colman, good morning.
Morning, Anton.
This kid was, what, 15?
15, yeah. But he
interrailing,
had a 16-year-old peer with him. So
that's fine.
No, I mean, again, that topic, I suppose, caused a lot of debate because there was a lot of people coming saying fair play to her. That's what we should be giving children, more independence, etc. And others got kind of outraged at the concept of a 15-year-old interrailing across Europe. So again, it's been a question I've been asked for years, but it's a question where the answer has changed over the years. I think we've moved from a place where 14-year-olds were doing babysitting and now people are looking for babysitters for their 14-year-old. And again, why is that? What's that about? And how do we make the right calls? And, you know, we'll have a lot of sentimentality saying when I was young, I was, you know, on the bike, my BMX from whatever time till that time. But the world is a different place now. And children and young people are not the same as they were either. So I would always say, you know, we need to meet young people where they're at rather than where we want them to be. So how do we bring them from a position where maybe they don't have a lot of those skills? And we can't forget the disruption of pandemics and everything else that went with that. So how do we bring, say, a 14, 15, 16-year-old from a place of not having that great deal of independence to being more independent? And the answer...
And how do we live with the risks as parents? Because one of the things when you begin to give a child more independence is you have to accept the downside risk of they're going to come home with a broken arm, they're going to get in some kind of trouble, something is likely, possibly, to go wrong.
And a lot of the studies would suggest that the main impediment to a child's independence is a parent, you know, saying, well, it's just easier to bring them or drop them, or I don't want to be sitting up waiting for them to go home. And so it's more convenient for us to kind of remove the anxiety of it. But without adversity, your child is never going to be able to develop those independence. And like, maturity doesn't come from having no adversity. It comes from being able to respond and manage it. So I was kind of thinking about how can we kind of assess the maturity levels of a child? How do we know when they're ready? Well, I love the concept of surmountable stress. So you push them a little bit past their comfort zone, but not overwhelm them. And then kind of incremental independence. So we need to be seeing that from 1 month to the next, our teenage child is having more opportunities to learn how to become independent. But making that call in the first place, I think it comes down to emotional maturity. And people say, well, what is that? It's usually how your child embraces responsibility and manages a response to when it doesn't go well. So how do they manage disappointment, that sort of stuff? That would kind of give you an indication of where their emotional maturity is. Their honesty is another thing. You know, I'm for decades trying to tell teenagers to be savvy because their parents go, where are you going? I'm going out, right? If you give that answer, you're more likely to have your parents with a binoculars following you everywhere because of the suspicion.
But presumably part of that comes, Coleman, from the parents' own record. I mean, if I take myself as a case in point, I shouldn't have been allowed out without adult supervision until my early 30s. When you then look at the next generation, you think, oh, mother of God, if they're doing anything like I did, they can't be let out.
Yeah, well, again, that, you know, vicariously reliving our childhoods through our own mistakes is probably the not best option. But the idea of if a youngster says, I'm going to Anton's, there's four of us there, we'll be back at 10, I'll text you. You will get more freedom with that. But teenagers just see that as a battle of wills and a battle of controls and saying, well, I'm not giving in to their nosiness. So I'm not. But from the point of view of honesty and knowing that your child will come back to you and say, had a bit of trouble there today or on the way back from the shop, this happened. That's actually a good thing. And it shouldn't be responded by clamping down on their independence. And again, that last bit is kind of their peer group. And that is important. You know, I think if you think your child maybe isn't that mature, but the pals they're with are kind of a good bunch of lads or whatever the case may be, we'll feel a bit more confident. Whereas if you feel your child maybe is mixing in the unsavory circles and might get them into trouble, you might be watching that as well. They're all reasonable things to take into account when giving a child more independence, but the reality is they need it. Like, the answer to how much independence should you give your child, as much as they can manage safely.
Now, I recognise what you say about that you tailor it to the emotional capacity of each individual child, but are there benchmark ages for certain levels of independence?
Yeah, I mean, I think a child who could come home, have their own key, you know, let themselves into the house, you know, and could feasibly survive a few hours till you get home without burning the place down or whatever the case may be, you're talking about 13, 14 years of age. They should be able to manage that. Again, autonomously using public transport, getting from one place to the next, again, 13, 14 should be that. You know, then whether you leave them at evening times or night times, it might be more the 15, 16 type of age group that they'll be at that. But again, see, the safety issue is such a lottery because, you know, we talk about interrailing or across Europe. You could do that as a 15-year-old and have no problems and come back unscathed. You could walk down to the newsagent and get jumped by a go. So there is a lottery in it, but it is about parents almost letting go of some of the control and allowing the child to struggle, allowing them to fail, maybe allowing them to go into the shop with not enough money and having to negotiate how to put the product back and come out of it or whatever. But I suppose in our efforts to protect children from adversity, we kind of disable their ability to build skills.
Well, here's an interesting one. Text saying, 15-year-old on transition year going to Spain in October but has severe nut allergies, carries EpiPens, etc. He is immature and tends to downplay, but we're always with him, so he knows I'm checking things. But he started to speak up more and take ownership. Any advice from somebody describing themselves as a nervous mum and dad?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's maybe working on your own nervousness. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to trying, because you want to send him over there with the belief that you've got this and I think you can manage. Whereas if you're filling him with doubt and dread, that's going to affect the lens through which he takes on the task. I mean, again, you know, it's trying to get a 15-year-old to see something with the important lens of an adult. You know, this nut allergy is important. You've got to take that on board. You know, that's not always successful. We don't always get that. But I would be saying between now and then, he should be having, again, that incremental experience of independence where he's getting more and more responsibility. It's not about, like, there's loads of people, you'll hear people, they'll come out online at every column I write and say, oh, you're, you know, they're creating these resilient sissy kids and we need to harden them up. And it's not about making a kid walk to school with no shoes on. It's about giving them incremental steps to get to a point where they can manage life and adversity in the right way.
Texas said, we were in Paris recently and after having dinner sitting outside a restaurant, we encouraged our teenage kids to go for a wander while we finished our glasses of wine. We showed them on the map where they were and they shared their location on WhatsApp with us. They then felt okay about it knowing we were a phone call away and that we spoke French should we need to get them out of a French roaming child institution should they get caught.
Isn't that an interesting dynamic? And I see more of that, parents pushing your children out. You know, it's not, years ago, it was always curfews. That was always the argument. I want to stay out till 11. I want him in at 10. Now you're kind of pushing your kid to go out at 10. And again, we come back to the technology side of things that, you know, mobilizing themselves in the wild, they don't actually have to do that because they can do it from the remoteness of their screen or whatever the case may be. And actually that has affected their development in terms of taking on those things because I can order my food from home. I can, you know, do my banking from home. All of that sort of stuff means that those actual physical interactions with the outside world where independence is tested, I don't have an opportunity to learn them.
What about monitoring their behavior when they are away from you? Because I remember talking to two parents a long time ago and they were telling me that one of them, when they would be going home, would call and say, do you want anything in the shops? In other words, I'm on the way, stop whatever is going on. Whereas the other one would always arrive by surprise to try to catch them. Which is the correct way to go?
I think from the teenager to the parent, the communication should be plentiful. I'm not a big fan of the tracking and stuff like that we have heard conversations about. I think that doesn't, and again, you're creating a kind of a false reassurance. You know, we're okay to ramble around France because mom and dad know where we are and they can track us. Actually, you should be able to negotiate that yourself because over-reliance on those things can disable us a little bit. But I would always say, test your child. Say if it is a curfew issue, you want your child in at 8, they want to stay out to 10. Say, come in at 8, 3 nights in a row, on time, no arguments, no rows, it goes to 8:15. Come in every night, on time, no arguments, no rows, it goes to 8:30. So you're giving them, you know, play ball, be responsible, you get more freedom in that way. And that way you're testing, you're giving them the scope to be able to prove their maturity or their independence.
Lastly, what do you do when the child comes home and says, Marie, Frank, Dave, Helen, whoever, their parents let them do X?
Yeah, again, your own house, your own rules. Again, I would say from the point of view of when it comes to technology, parents always get this issue. I think if you're the unpopular parent when it comes to tech, time may prove you right. But in terms of independence, it maybe you need to ask yourself, am I overprotecting my child? Remember, the amount of independence you should give them is the maximum amount that they can manage safely. Always upper end when you're offering those opportunities.
Interesting text saying, I'm a helicopter parent, but when I do want to fly away, my kids literally hang on to me like Tom Cruise hanging on to the bottom of the chopper in Mission Impossible. Which goes to what you were saying, that in some cases it is actually trying to push the kids out when they themselves don't want to go.
Yeah, I get a lot of unpopular comment from this remark, but parenting is an art of becoming redundant. The less you're required, the more you've done your job. Obviously not with children with special needs and all that sort of stuff. But your job is to not be needed anymore. And if you can manage that, then job done.
On that note, Coleman, as ever, thank you very much. That is Coleman Nochter, who is child psychotherapist and columnist with the Irish Examiner. 53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.